This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Acts, chapter 27, verse 35, where we left off last time. Remember, we do book, chapter, verse, and line here, like we're supposed to. Acts chapter 27, verse 35. Before we begin, I want to invite every Christian in America to join me every Wednesday at 6 p.m., either in person or wherever you are, to pray for America. That Jesus be our Lord, the Bible our book, and they will be free again, safe again, peaceful again, holy again. That God deliver us from the Democratic, Leftist, Socialist, Communist, Marxist Party, and that we represent Jesus. You're also invited to come each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast taping. I am in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Merson's The Produce Place. I am at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, Acts chapter 27, verse 35. I almost finished this last time, so we're going to pick it up where we left off. Our beloved Paul was a prisoner on a ship, a cargo ship, going to Rome. There were other prisoners on there. There were sailors. There were passengers. There was a ship owner. There was a centurion who was guarding Paul, and so there were all kind of people on it. But all of a sudden, Euroclydon, a big hurricane, came, and boy, did that work havoc. It looked like all was lost. But the Lord Jesus appeared to Paul and said, Paul, tell the people not to worry, that not one life on this ship is going to be lost, although the ship is going to be destroyed. But the ship is going to have to go on an island first. So with that good news, everybody listen to Paul. It's amazing how lost people listen to a man or woman of God when they don't know what to do. So Paul said, we need to eat some food. So he got some food and began to eat. We'll pick it up right there.
35. Already thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all.
Before you ever eat one bite of anything, thank God for it.
When he had broken it, he began to eat. 36. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat.
They felt better. They had hope now. They just heard they weren't going to die.
37. And we were all in the ship 260.
276 people in that big cargo ship, and they nearly died in that hurricane.
38. When they had eaten enough, they lighted the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea.
Now, they had already lightened the ship somewhat, but this was the big money. This was the wheat. They had to let it go, too.
39. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship.
Remember that Jesus had told Paul, you're going to be cast off into an island. Now, I want to tell you that that island is called Malta today, and there's a sign there. It's called Paul's Bay. Also, in 1971, President George Walker Herbert Bush was our president. He took a ship to that island, but a hurricane came up. He was going to meet the Russian Premier Gorbachev, and they were going to decide to have a one-world order, Petrushka, but it wasn't time. So a hurricane came up, and President Bush was not able to get on the island. It wasn't time for the one-world order, but I can tell you, it's time now.
40. When they taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore.
Okay, they're just giving it all they've got. Hope they get to land.
41. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves.
Jesus had said the ship will be destroyed, so it's beginning to fall apart.
42. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them could swim out and escape.
Now, the soldiers weren't mean people. It's just if they let their prisoners escape, that the soldiers would be executed. But wait a minute. Our friend Paul is a prisoner.
43. But the centurion willing to save Paul.
That's Julius. Remember him last time? I think he got converted. Paul had converted him. He was on Paul's side.
Kept them from their purpose. And commanded them which could swim to cast themselves first into the sea and get to land.
All of you who can swim, swim for the shore.
44. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all, safe to land.
Now, see, the enemy meant this for evil, but God turned it for good. If that ship hadn't broken up, those people who could not swim would not have had any kind of a rubberized ship to get to shore. See, God turns everything for good.
Amen.
Acts chapter 28, verse 1.
As always, I ask the Lord to show me his heart so I can give it to your heart. From God's heart to my heart to your heart, here's what he gave me. Your three candles. Your three candles. What is a candle? A candle is a light, right?
Yes.
What is three? Three is God. One God operating in three different offices. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, God the Father is the Father of lights. God the Son, Jesus, is the light of the world. And God the Holy Spirit guides you into the light of truth. Now, God the Father, your first candle, hides you in his secret place and covers you with his feathers and keeps you safe under his wing. So, your first candle is protection. Say, my first candle is protection.
My first candle is protection.
All right. Your second candle is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. The Lord is a very present help in trouble. So your second help, which is Jesus, is the Lord Jesus Christ, which is help. Say, my second candle is help.
My second candle is help.
And your third candle is given to you from the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. In other words, the Holy Spirit guides you with his eye, teaches and instructs you the way he wants you to go. So your third candle is guidance. Say, my third candle is guidance.
My third candle is guidance.
Your three candles, protection, help, guidance.
Verse 1, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. 2, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness.
Now, when it says barbarous, that doesn't mean they were going to cut the heads off and eat them. It means they were heathen, they were not Christians, but they were kind to them.
For they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold.
I mean, they were about to freeze to death. Look at that. The island people built a fire for them. Look at that. Look at God's protection. Look at God's help. Look at God's guidance.
3. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks.
Look at Paul. I mean, he's a prisoner, but he's always just doing the right thing. He goes and helps them build the fire. He goes and gathers some sticks. Now, I bet the rest of the prisoners said, I'm not going to do that. I'm a prisoner.
And laid them on the fire. There came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand.
This kind of viper would kill you in about 2 seconds. Now, a viper is a snake. Revelation says the devil's name is Satan, devil, serpent, dragon. He was Lucifer in the first earth age, and he's about to come as the Antichrist. So you better believe this is a snake, the devil, trying to kill Paul.
When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man's a murderer.
See, they believe, like a lot of you believe, that if something bad happens to a person, they must be bad. No, that old snake comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Amen. Oh, though he hath escaped the sea, the avenger that suffereth not to live.
In other words, they said, they don't know the one true God. They said, whoever is God is probably going to kill him by the snake, even though he escaped the sea. So they thought he was a bad person.
5. And he shook off the beast into the fire.
He shook off the beast into the fire. Revelation 13 gives us 2 beasts. Revelation 13, remember there are 7 trumps. We're in the first part of the 6th trump now. We're also still in the 5th trump, a time of learning. The first beast of Revelation 13 is the political system of the Antichrist. This would be the Communist Socialist Marxist Party trying to shut our churches and take away our God in America. But the second beast of Revelation 13 is the Antichrist, that old devil, that old serpent. He's about to come calling himself Christ, but Paul shook him off. Now, what you do, though he's going to come and say he's Jesus, shake him off and remember that the end of the millennium, the 1,000 years, will all be in our spiritual bodies. That old devil is going to walk into the lake of fire.
Amen. And he felt no harm. 6.
God protects his elect.
Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead, sudden. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm came to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god.
A little g. In other words, they didn't know the one true God. This is a miracle. This man must be some kind of a god to survive this viper.
7. In the same quarters, the possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius.
That's where the word Publix comes from. Public supermarket. Okay, he's the chief of the island, Publix.
Who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously.
3 days. Now, throughout this chapter, you're going to hear the number 3. That's because Paul has his 3 candles like you have yours. Protection, help, guidance.
8. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of the fever and the bloody flux.
He had the coronavirus fever because, see, it's just colds and flus always been around. What is a bloody flux? It's a condition of the intestines, and it causes bloody diarrhea. So he was really sick.
To whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him.
Of course, it was the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit that healed this man. Mark 16 says, these signs follow them that believe. They lay hands on the sick and they recover. Now look at this. It looks like Paul and those have missed the mark. They've got a detour. Jesus told him he's going to Rome to testify. They get stranded on an island. On your way to your eternal destiny, it's going to seem sometimes like you're stuck in a rut, but see, God has a plan. That man needed to be healed.
9. And when this was done, others also which had diseases on the island came and were healed.
Look at that. Don't you know Paul preached Jesus to them? These people needed God. See, you always think that it's just hopeless. You don't understand. In your greatest trouble, if you will trust God, he will turn it for good. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Paul is there so he can preach the gospel to these heathen people and they can get healed. God loves them.
Yeah, amen.
So don't despair when you get a little sidetracked. Just keep going straight ahead with Jesus and the Bible.
10. Who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, They laded us with such things as were necessary.
When it was time for Paul and the others to leave and start on their way to Rome, they gave them food and water and probably some warm clothing. You see, they got saved. Now they want to help each other.
11. And after 3 months...
There's a 3 again. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, protection, help, guidance. Your 3 candles.
We departed in the ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle.
Now look at God. See, God was taking care of Paul all along. Paul's destiny was to go to Rome and preach the gospel and also write many of the books that we study in the Bible. And so there he was. God already had a ship that had been there 3 months, and look, it's ready now to take them. Don't you ever despair. God has always got another ship for you if yours gets broken.
Whose sign was Castor and Pollux?
We don't do horoscopes, but that would mean Gemini.
12. I landed at Syracuse. We tarried there 3 days.
There's a 3 again. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, your 3 candles. Protection, help, guidance.
13. And from hence we fetched a compass and came to Radium. And after 1 day the south wind blew, and we came the next day, we came to Tequila. 14. There we found brethren, and we desired to tarry with them 7 days.
7 is God's number of perfection. This had to be so encouraging for Paul, because everywhere he went trying to preach the gospel, people were trying to kill him. But these were Christian brothers. Don't forget that early in Acts, Paul had traveled everywhere, building the churches and preaching the gospel. So these people were probably a part of some church he had formed. Look at that. The church is growing. You can't keep the church down. Nope. We're going to last forever.
Amen. And so we went toward Rome.
And see, in all of your hurricanes and all of your detours, don't miss your destiny. That's why you came through your mother's womb. It wasn't about what you thought was important in life. It wasn't about a job or marriage or fun or being popular, being pretty, or having a new house or a new car. It was to fulfill your destiny. Make sure you go to your Rome.
15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as at the Forum.
Everywhere they would travel, there'd be some more Christians there. That's because Paul had been preaching the gospel. The church had grown.
The three taverns.
Now, tavern is a place you can get in out of the weather. You can have some food. You can lodge there. There's the 3 again. God is providing Paul his 3 candles. Protection, help, guidance. Your 3 candles. Your 3 taverns.
Oh, when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage.
It encouraged him because he had been through so much, but there were Christians there. How wonderful it is to be with kindred spirits who love the Lord, who are totally dedicated, not half-hearted, not 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the church, but totally, totally all to Jesus.
Amen.
16. And when he came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard.
Now, all the other prisoners, Julius the centurion, sent them to their captain, so they had to go into some old kind of a prison. Well, what about Paul?
But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldiers that kept him.
Actually, Paul is going to rent a house. Remember, he always worked. He was a tent maker. And he's going to rent a house, even though he's under house arrest. Now, that's a lot better than being in a bad prison. But house arrest is also hard. It's very hard to be shut in a building and never get any fresh air or go anywhere for almost 2 years. But when you're doing God's work, God gives you the strength to do it.
17. And it came to pass that after 3 days...
There's a 3 again.
Paul called the chief of the eunuchs together.
Now remember, Jesus had said, you're going to preach the gospel to the house of Israel, the brother Judah, to the Gentiles, the kings and queens of the ethnos. The Jew is an incorrect word. Greek is eunuchs. But these would have been probably many of them, the tribe of Judah. We love our brother Judah.
when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people, customs of our father, yet was I delivered a prisoner in Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans.
In other words, I am innocent, but the fake Eudas delivered me as a prisoner. But what I want you to know, to just be clear about this, while I am under house arrest, I'm not guilty.
18. Yet when they had examined me, they would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me.
They said I was not guilty.
19. But when the Eudas spoke against us, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar.
In other words, the fake Eudas were going to kill me, Paul says. And he said, even though I'm Hebrew of the tribe of Benjamin, I was also a citizen of Rome. So to keep them from killing me, I said, I appealed to Caesar. Because Caesar had a law that you couldn't arrest people and accuse them unless they had a fair trial. And Paul had not had a fair trial.
Not that I had ought to accuse my nation of.
I love my nation.
20. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain.
The hope of Israel, and all of these people listening, Judah would know it, it's in the Torah, would be that there was going to be a Messiah to come. And of course, Paul knows it's Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, the reason I'm a prisoner is I've been saying the Messiah has come, and his name is Jesus. They want to kill me for this.
21. And they said unto him, we neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came spoke any harm of thee.
That had to warm Paul's heart, because everywhere he went, people were trying to kill him for preaching Jesus. But these, the tribe of Judah here, they hadn't heard anything bad about Paul, so I'm sure he felt better.
22. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest.
They saw that he was a genius. He was a man who had the mind of God. When you find somebody that the mind of God is going to them, it's very wise to listen. We want to hear you, Paul. We want to learn.
For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against.
The sect would be the Christian way, Jesus. In other words, we've heard that a lot of people don't believe in Jesus. But of course, Paul knows that Jesus is the Messiah, and you know that.
23. And when they had appointed him a day,
Paul made an appointment there. He had an appointment calendar.
There came many into his lodging to hear him expound and testify the kingdom of God.
They would come there to make an appointment. He said, the kingdom of God, the kingdom is at hand. What is a kingdom? A king in his dominion. He was saying the king has come. His name is Jesus. He died. He arose from the dead. And if you are saved, you are part of his kingdom. Do you understand that right now we're in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, those of you who are saved?
Persuading them concerning Jesus.
Of course he preached Jesus.
Both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets.
They would, of course, have known the Torah, the Old Testament there. They would have known that Moses said that God was going to raise up one like Moses who would be the Messiah. They would have known Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
Amen. From morning till evening.
From morning till evening. Look at Paul. You know, he's a prisoner, but he's the freest man in the place. Understand, you may think you're hot stuff, and you got this car, and you got this money, and you got this house, and you got this job. If you're not in God's will, you're a prisoner of yourself. The freest person in the world who is in God's will, because you're in the truth, and the truth makes you free.
Amen.
24. And some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not.
Anytime you teach the Word of God, there are going to be some people who will believe, and there'll be some people who will not. God's not willing that any should perish, but not everybody's going to be saved. Don't ever let that deter you. If some people believe, great. If they don't, go get discouraged. Go on to the next person. Keep telling the story. Be faithful. Be true.
25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word.
Now, they're listening so far, but Paul's going to say a word that's going to get them upset. I will tell you when that word is spoken. Right now, he's going to preach to them Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. So let's hear him preach Isaiah 6, verse 9.
Well spoke the Holy Spirit by Isaiah, the prophet unto our fathers. 26, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, but not perceive. 27, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and the ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them.
Sounds like 2 Chronicles 7:14, America, which is the only solution for America. If my people call by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. Notice it didn't say lost people, it said you Christian. God says that I will hear from heaven, I will forgive your sins, I will heal your land. God changes not. Just as he was said that in Isaiah, he says it to America, God's people today.
Amen.
28. Be it known.
One thing, too, Jesus also mentioned this in Mark chapter 4. Jesus says, some of you think you have such good hearing and you're deaf. Some of you think you've got 20/20 vision, you're blind as a bat. See, there's none so blind as the 20/20 person vision who does not see his spiritual destiny. And he said, some of you are so hard-hearted, you think you're hot stuff, and the love of God is not in you. Romans 11, God says, I've sent the spirit of slumber on some of you. You know why? To whom much is given, much is required. You hear the truth here. The Antichrist is about to appear. The world will call him God. Half the body of Christ, Matthew 25, will call him Jesus. You know that 6 comes before 7. But if you become a hothouse lily and you fold, your eternal soul is lost. So God knows that some people have no courage, so he keeps them from hearing. At least there's a little bit of innocency in ignorance.
Therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it.
Now that's the word that's going to upset them, Gentiles. A Gentile is anyone who's not the seed of Abraham. At that point, the house of Israel, the house of Judah, thought that God was only for them. They weren't being snobs. They just didn't know that God had opened the door to whosoever will may come. So this is going to get some of them upset. They're going to think Paul doesn't know what he's talking about. But some will believe.
29. When he said these words, the Eudas departed.
Now that would be some of our brother Judah. I kind of think these would have been the Kenites, those who say they're Judah but are not, the synagogue of Satan, Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9, the Kenites, the descendants of Cain, Cain the child of the devil. Now not our beloved brother Judah.
And had great reasoning among themselves. 30. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house.
Right there, he stays there preaching the gospel. It would be there that he would write many of the epistles. Others he wrote in worse prisons, but he wrote a lot of the epistles there. You know, Paul is a great man. He wrote 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Hebrew. Lord have mercy. God wrote it through him. What a blessing. What a blessed man.
Amen.
A prisoner.
Amen.
Look at that. Ooh, what a free man.
I received all that came in unto him. 31. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him.
In other words, there he was. What a great man. Paul gave up everything that you think's important. He was a young man when this all started. He was probably going to get married. He gave up marriage. He gave up his family. He left his father and mother and sister and nephew. He gave up prestige. He was very respected, a Hebrew scholar in the synagogue. And from then on in, he was persecuted for righteousness' sake. And now he's in Rome. But listen to me. Great is his reward in heaven. Jesus is going to bring some of his saints with him. We're all going to be in the spiritual bodies. Some of the elect here are going to teach in that 1,000 years, the day of the Lord. Some of the elect alive right now, but some he's bringing with him. I really believe Paul is going to be with him. What a great man of God. Now, the book of Acts, to tell you how to act as a Christian. Acts chapter 1, the Lord Jesus Christ had paid the sin debt. He had died on the cross. He shed his blood for the remission of sin. Jesus had arisen from the dead. And he showed himself alive to the apostles for 40 days so they would know that he was alive. And he told his apostles, you stay in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. They didn't know what that was. It was the Holy Spirit, but they didn't know. So they went to Jerusalem, and 10 days after Jesus ascended and went back to God, sitting at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us, the apostles and the women were in the upper room. We have an upper room. And suddenly, cloven tongues of fire sat on every one of their heads. Hebrews 12:29, God is a consuming fire. Cloven tongues. Everyone, men and women, began to speak. And there were people there from every nationality. It was Pentecost. They heard the truth that the apostles and the women spoke in their own language and dialect. Peter got stood up and said, this is that which is spoken of by Joel the prophet. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Yep, your daughters shall preach. They'll have the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Jesus told us in Mark 13, here at the end, we're at the end. When the elect are delivered up to Antichrist, not one hair of your head shall be harmed, but you want to let the Holy Spirit speak through you, and then the gospel shall be heard in all the world.
Amen.
Because when that Holy Spirit speaks, everybody in the world will hear it through you, the elect, here at the end, and the gospel shall be heard. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And so the church grew. It grew from 3,000 to 5,000, signs and wonders and miracles. In Acts chapter 6, the apostles said, we've got too much to do. We want to give ourselves to the word and prayer. We need somebody to do the grunt work, to clean the church bathroom, to do the mopping and the vacuuming and the window cleaning. And so they appointed 7 men. One was Philip. He was an evangelist. He had 4 daughters who were prophetesses. They preached the gospel. Another was Stephen. In Acts 7, Stephen preached one of the greatest Bible lessons from Genesis to the coming of Jesus. But they stoned Stephen, and watching him was a young man named Saul. Saul loved the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yahweh, but he did not know that the Messiah had come, so he was persecuting Christians. On the road to Damascus, Jesus met him and knocked him off his horse, and Jesus said, Saul, I'm going to change your name to Paul. You're a chosen vessel. I chose you from before the foundation of the earth. You're going to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the house of Israel, to the Gentiles, and to the kings and queens of the ethnos. Paul said, yes. So Paul goes up to Jerusalem and meets Peter and James and John and the apostles. Peter does not understand that the gospel's open to the Gentiles. So God said, I'll teach you, Peter. So Peter goes up on a rooftop and he's hungry. God lets down a sheet from heaven. It's full of unclean animals that the Bible says in Leviticus 11, do not eat this, it will make you sick. A voice said, Peter, eat. Peter said, I can't eat this, this would be a sin. God says, Peter, I'm not talking to you about food. This is a parable. I'm trying to tell you that my blood is sufficient. No matter how unclean anyone is, whosoever will may come. So Peter did not eat the food. And on and on. Then Apostle Paul goes about building the churches, and there are all kinds of things. Some kind of a man wanting to be Paul, saying he could cast out demons. He went to a person that had a demon. Now, this is a phony prophet. He says, hey, demon, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out of this person. The demon says, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? The demon attacks the false prophet and rips his clothes off. But Paul just goes on and on and on, and he gets to Rome. What a great man of God. Great is his reward in heaven. Please remember that you have three candles on your way to your eternal destiny. You have the Father, you have the Son, you have the Holy Spirit. Protection, help, guidance. Amen. I pray you a blessing. We'll begin a new book of the Bible next time. We always teach one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line. But right now it's time for me to introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. What an awesome book.
What a great book. Amen. What a word is this? Well, Scott, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16:26.
Absolutely perfect. Great, Scott. Thank you very much. In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick. But first of all, anyone hearing me out in cyberspace or in this place, if you're not saved, God loves you. Jesus died for you, and I love you. Pray this prayer with me and mean it, and God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive all my sins.
Please forgive all my sins.
Omission and commission.
Omission and commission.
Known and unknown.
Known and unknown.
Wash them away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Let me fulfill my destiny.
Let me fulfill my destiny.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. 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 Now, for those of you out there in Airland, if you prayed that prayer, the Bible says confession is made to salvation. You need to tell someone. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. In a little while, my announcer will give you my telephone number, and I invite you to call me and leave that confession on my voicemail. Say your name clearly, and I will pray for you. Now we're going to pray for those of you who are sick. I feel led by the Holy Spirit to pray for people who have just kind of a low-grade headache. It just doesn't go away. So according to Malachi chapter 4, we put God in remembrance of his word. Father, in the name of Jesus, according to your word, you said that those who fear your name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in your wings. The wings are the laser beams of Jesus Christ's healing energy. So I ask, Lord Jesus, that you will go into the head, and I ask where the electrons and the protons are overcharged with electricity, then you will bring divine order in the brain and in the skull, divine order in the electrons, divine order in the protons, that everything get in order, that the pressure be gone, that the pain be gone. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. He said his word and healed you. He restored health and cure to you. He heals you of your wounds. He bore your pain. He comforts you on every side. He relieves you from all distress. Praise God. And we all say, I agree in Jesus' name. Now, for those of you who got your miracle, you might like to call me and tell me that too. Nothing is given to you to keep. Every beautiful truth you get is to give away. Give it away. Go and tell. And God will give you some more. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your host, Sherry Medlock. I love you with all my heart. You stay true to God. Give your life to him. The rest doesn't matter. Nothing matters except you do what God means for you to do. And you will have eternal joy. I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3. Is it true?
A better world than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me and stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. Your blood. Your blood speaks a better world than all the empty claims heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me and stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. What can ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Singing of the blood, singing of Calvary, singing of salvation today. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. It's the blood.
Jesus.
And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
I need thee every hour in joy.